The second scripture reading for today is Hebrews 2, 1 through 9, which is found on 1184 in your pew Bibles. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Let us pray. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We thank you for speaking to us today through your holy word. May our minds and hearts be open to receive your truth spoken through Ron. Amen.
How is your spiritual health today? If you're truly honest with yourself, where are you on your spiritual walk? How is your faith? You see, that question comes up right here in the beginning of this passage. For the last couple of weeks, as we've been starting to go through the book of Hebrews, we have heard how exalted Jesus is, according to the writer of the Hebrews. He's greater, he's the great king of the universe, greater than any angel. And then right here in the middle, he will go on later on and talk about how he's made human and he lowered himself and now is exalted. But right here in the middle of that, he starts off and says, we must pay the most careful attention, or more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. This is a very significant warning that the author has for us here. If we are not paying attention to the teaching of Christ and paying very careful attention, we will drift away. Have you been drifting away from Christ? We use lots of different metaphors and similes and other examples to talk about how we are doing in our faith. Sometimes we talk about it as a spiritual walk. We say, well, if you're not continually walking with the Lord, you're going to backslide. There's all kinds of examples of how we may not be walking and fulfilling our faith. But here, the writer of the Hebrews uses, we must pay careful attention so we don't drift away. And here, being in a fishing community, we understand that, don't we? If you're not anchored securely, the current's going to take it away, right? I mean, when you look out here and you see the tide go out and the whole harbor's almost empty and you think, how can even the boat be full? You're going to drift away if you do not find yourself firmly secured. So how do we drift away? Now, we're baptizing four more young people today. We baptized a couple a few weeks ago. And for them, they're very excited about their faith. And they're growing in their faith. And God gives that to us as we first turn to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Many times we have such a spurt and a growth that God gives us. And we're on fire for God. And these kids are. Praise God for that. But then after we've been walking with the Lord for a while, many times we become a little complacent. Sometimes without maybe thinking exactly this, we think, well, I've got my ticket to heaven. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And we don't really continue fervently growing in our faith, we start drifting away. Complacency in Christ is one of the fastest way that we grow, that we can drift away from God. And this is a huge warning. We must pay the most careful attention or we will drift away. What ways have you been drifting away from the Lord? Have you become complacent in your faith? How's your Bible study going? How's your daily devotions going? How's your prayer life? I'm not talking about the prayer life where we think of God as some kind of a cosmic Santa Claus. Whatever I want, I just ask for, and it's all me, want. How's your prayer life? Praying for the needs of others. Praying for God to bring more people within to His church. Or maybe you think, my spiritual life is pretty good. And we start looking around and looking at others and we start judging them. We come to worship every Sunday and we find ourselves maybe, I heard this example recently. Someone said that sometimes people come to church who really feel secure in their faith and they think they're almost a figure skating judge in church. You know, the children's message this morning, wasn't that great when Dylan broke the string? It would have been a 9.5 if he'd done it on the first try, right? But as it was, since it took 3 tries, you know, maybe it's what? How about an 8.0? Is that all right, Dylan? And maybe that first song, was only a 6.5. Maybe that prayer that Crystal gave, you know, it was... Do we find ourselves judge? And of course you get to judge the sermon every week, right? Do you find yourself doing that to some extent? Obviously I've tried to make it a little humorous, but don't we sometimes do that on Sunday morning instead of coming in here and worshiping God with total abandon because He deserves it? What way are you drifting away from the Lord? This is a very serious warning here. And what he does as he reads, as he is calling our attention, he's just given this marvelous example in chapter 1 about how exalted Christ is, much greater than any angel, much above them. And then he talks about how the message, basically the law, the Jewish people at this point in time, were recognizing that the law that they were abiding by, the laws of Moses, they believed was mediated through angels. And they say, and he says here in verse 2, since the message spoken by the angels, the laws of Moses, the Old Testament, it was so binding, if anybody violated it, they would in fact receive punishment. We can look back at Deuteronomy and see that there were blessings and curses, whether you followed God's law or not, as mediated through the... But now he says, but if there that deserves punishment, how much more if we don't accept this message of salvation that Christ himself brought to us? This salvation was announced by the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. And it was confirmed to us, he says, by those who first heard him. Now, we have the book of Hebrews in our Bible, and I'm so glad that we do. When the early church first was considering what was part of what now has become the New Testament, most of the books of the New Testament, they came in because they felt like they had been written by an apostle, someone who received direct authority from the Lord himself. The book of Hebrews actually came in initially and was confirmed because they thought erroneously that it was written by Paul, who received his teaching directly from the Lord when he was out in the wilderness with him for 3 years. But here we see that the writer of the Hebrews, he did not learn directly from the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that this is not inspired. It is. But he says right here, I learned this from those who heard it directly from Jesus. He learned it from the other apostles. So, a mistake, perhaps, that people thought it was Paul, and I'm glad for that divine mistake, aren't you, that we have this glorious letter here to help teach us. But he talks about, there's really three things. First, it came from the Lord himself. It was confirmed by those who walked with him and heard him for 3 years. And finally, God himself confirmed it through miraculous signs and wonders and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to pay attention to. Is this great work that we have here, the whole Bible, teaching us how to live and how to respond to God and to live for Jesus. What are the requirements? You can boil them down to basically two. The teaching of Jesus, I think, could be boiled down to two things. There's a lot in here about how we live our lives, but first and foremost, we are to love one another. We are to love as Jesus loved. And what did he do for you? He laid down his life for you. And he demands that you also, if you follow him and believe in him, that you love others even unto death if you have to. That's the extent of your love for others. Have you drifted away from that a little bit? We're in an election season this year, right? Election year. It's pretty easy to see the news or watch TV or whatever, and we've got our favorites, and then we've got our not-so-favorites. Let's talk about the not-so-favorites. Do you experience much love for them? How about in your discussions? Do you display the love of God as you're discussing their positions? I see some knowing smiles out there. I think I know the answer to that question. We find it very easy to criticize our political leaders, don't we? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try and make the proper and best choice, but are we expressing the love of God, the love of Jesus, when we talk politics? Or are we drifting away from the teaching of love? Number one, we are to love others as he loved us. And number two, he says, go and make disciples. When was the last time you engaged in making a disciple for Christ? When was the last time you encouraged somebody to come and find out about the gospel? You can't make a disciple until they first know about the Lord. When was the last time you evangelized somebody? Oh, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Right? Many of us say that all the time, don't we? It's embarrassing. I don't want to do this. Jesus gives us two basic commands. Love one another. Go and make disciples. If you haven't been loving someone, you're drifting away. If you're not loving everyone. If you haven't been trying to make disciples or grow new disciples for Christ, you're being disobedient. You're drifting away. Well, I'm not very good at that. Well, it's pretty easy. When was the last time you invited somebody to come to church? Just doing that. Come with me sometime. I'll pick you up. This is not a very comfortable message to give, is it? It's not a comfortable message to give either. But if we don't do the things Christ calls on us to do, we are drifting away. And this is a very significant warning. You see, there's a reason for this warning. We are not to drift away, and he goes into the rest of this passage to explain why it is so important for us to follow. And he quotes Psalm 8, which was the psalm I used for the prayer of praise. You heard Serena read it. And he's quoting Psalm 8 because, in verse 5, it is not to angels that God has subjected the world to come. It's to human beings. And we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where God created humanity in his image and gave humans authority over all of his creation. And we blew it. Right? That's chapter 3 of Genesis. We rebelled against God instead of ruling as He wanted us to in obedience to Him. But we were created for the purpose of reigning over His creation. And that's what Psalm 8 talks about. How God created all this, and how could He possibly think of us? Mere humanity, and yet He made us a little lower than the angels, and yet He wants us to rule His creation for Him. And what we failed to do, Jesus came. Jesus, Lord of the universe, lowered Himself and became truly human so He could fulfill Psalm 8 and Genesis 1. So He could come and lower Himself, become lower than the angels, live a perfect life, show us what it is truly like to be truly human, to suffer and die for us, and so He is exalted on high. You see, when we don't drift away, when we follow after Christ, we can join in His ruling this universe the way He wants it done, in love, spreading His gospel to others. That's what Hebrews is talking about. Don't let yourself drift away. Certainly we can drift away when we outright sin. We know what we should do and we deliberately do other. That's total rebellion. That's an easy way to drift away. We're untying the boat ourselves and just casting ourselves off without starting the engine, right? But we can drift away in other ways. I encourage you in the coming week, be diligent in reading your Bible. Have a daily devotion with your spouse or with your family or by yourself. Be diligent in your prayers. Listen to the Word of God by reading it and participating. Be diligent on Sunday morning in your worship and adoration of God. And when, you know, the wrong slide is put up on the overhead, don't judge. Who's doing it today? Susan? Okay. Give her a little grace. You know? We're here to worship God. We're here to follow Him. And we are called to love and to make disciples. If we're not doing that, we're drifting away. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, help us to follow after You. Help us to put into practice the commands that Jesus has given us to love and to make disciples. Keep us from drifting away and help us to follow after You. In Christ we pray. Amen.